So imagine that your son is in a terrible car accident and is going to need at-home care or a care nurse or a facility. Let's say that your son already had the COVID flu and is therefore recovered. And let's say that despite that, the so-called medical authorities refuse to help your son, even though he has natural immunity and is in an age group that's not going to die from this and can't spread it because of his immunity, and they still refuse to help your son. Well, instead of imagining it, we'll talk to a woman who's been in that exact position.
Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
And as for children, I know you believe that it'll be early November before 5 to 11-year-olds can get vaccinated.
So I think the timeline that we discussed previously is really still on the timetable that we spoke about.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and may God protect the people who are being fired on firing day. As a man who is an absolute dictator runs wild over Washington State. These are the times through which God has decided we shall live. Times such as these were described. Good is bad, bad is good, up is down, down is up. And that's what we're experiencing in these times in which God has decided we shall live. In the long, winding path that you guys, we've walked together in the radio show, I don't know, have you had the sort of change that I've had? I can never be put back into the same box again after what I have watched transpire over the past 2 years. And things like being called names, that's never really bothered me. You get in the business of talk radio, you're going to be called names. And you're going to be called racist. And well, that just goes with the name of the game of being a conservative or a pro-constitutionalist. We know that. But having people in the radio business warn me, you're traipsing pretty close to conspiracy theories. Am I really? Well, when you have, well, let's let Fauci say it.
Well, I'm not so sure I could answer the latter because I can't think of anything, but I'm sure some people will.
Why don't they like him?
Chris, I have stood for always making science, data, and evidence be what we guide ourselves by. And I think people who feel differently, who have conspiracy theories, who deny reality that's looking them straight in the eye, those are people that don't particularly care for me.
Okay, so he was asked why people don't like him. The reason I don't like you is because you're a psychopath and a murderer. That's why I don't like you. And I'll pray for you. Sincerely, Tony, I'll pray for you. You've made science and data the center of this. Mm-hmm. Without going to the wealth of studies I've read, without going to the 29 studies to show the strength of natural immunity, which they pretend does not exist, without quoting the data from Israel, 27 times more likely to end up in the hospital with a serious case of the COVID if you've been double injected by the mRNA garbage, without going through the 54 studies on woke masks, without doing any of that, the laziest person in the world, The least intelligent human being traipsing the earth, can simply point out the fraud of this man. Let's go to the simplest form of this. That man doesn't wear masks when he thinks he's not being filmed. Not just him. Jill Biden let Joe go eat in the restaurant this weekend. Jill let Joe and she walk around without masks. The Secret Service was wearing them. You'll notice this trend a lot. You'll notice where the wealthy traipse about. The commoners have to cover their common stink holes, their speaking holes. We saw it at the Met Gala. You saw AOC in her finery being last minute tucked and nipped the dress she was wearing by a woman wearing a face diaper. When Jill Biden let Joe go to a nice, fancy, expensive, elitist restaurant in D.C. this weekend, the Secret Service agents following them had black woke masks, face diapers covering their faces, but not the king and the queen. With a simple example like that, you prove that this has nothing to do with the science or the data. Take a slight expansion of that. And again, listen to Fauci asked why people don't like him.
Well, I'm not so sure I could answer the latter because I can't think of anything, but I'm sure some people will. But, you know, Chris, I have stood for always making science, data, and evidence be what we guide ourselves by. And I think people who feel differently, who have conspiracy theories, who deny reality that's looking them straight in the eye, those are people that don't particularly care for me.
People walk across restaurants. They walk 30 seconds to their table with a face diaper. They sit down and take the face diaper off. And they're safe. People get on airplanes and can smell the person next to them, smell the cologne of the person next to them, but the woke mask is protecting them from a virus. It was vital that schools be closed. It was absolutely vital that pot stores stay open. Sturgis is a super spreader event. The Black Lives Matter Incorporated riots and protests were not. Mathematically speaking, kids simply don't die from the COVID flu. Not from it, some with it. Simply speaking, mathematically, kids are more likely to end up in the hospital because they were injected with the mRNA or DNA garbage. Mathematically speaking, science and data. Doesn't matter. He still wants all the kids injected. I mean, and that's the most mathematical you have to get at this to disprove what he said. These people understand human nature. People want so desperately to trust their captors. They do. If you're in a hostage situation and you can convince yourself that, I got a bond with the guy with the gun. He likes me. I'm on his good side. I'm staying on his good side. It's human nature. I'm going to protect myself by being liked. Duck and cover extra quick. They understand human nature. They understand things like the ASH conformity experiment.
Two.
The subject denies the evidence of his own eyes and yields to group influence.
They set up an experiment. The professor introduces the experiment as we're simply going to figure out which line is longest and which is shortest. There's five actors in the room, only one person in the room. One out of five is a participant. After going through a series of examples where everybody told the truth, yeah, that line's longer, and it's obvious that they're longer. They're not close calls. Then all the actors lie. The first time all the actors lie, guess what happens?
Two.
The subject denies the evidence of his own eyes and yields to group influence.
What?
Ash found subjects went along with the group on 37% of the critical trials. What? But he found through interviews that they went along with the group for different reasons.
One.
They must be right. There are four of them and one of me.
One.
I know they're wrong, but why should I make waves?
Two.
With a partner, yielding drops to only 5% of the critical trials compared to 37% without a partner. Although subjects report warmth and good feeling toward the partner, they typically deny that he played a role in their own independence. The partnership variation shows that much of the power of the group came not merely from its numbers, but from the unanimity of its opposition. When that unanimity is punctured, the group's power is greatly reduced.
When that unanimity is punctured. That's up to you. On firing day in the separate country of Washington State, The unanimity is punctured when you say this is tyranny. It is lies. It is wrong. It is immoral. If your employer should come to blackmail you into an injection, do not ask for an exception. Do not legitimize. Do not respond. Make them fire you because they're going to anyway. Get as many colleagues as you can to puncture the unanimity. Because there's a lot of well-meaning, good human beings who run companies who have been, well, traumatized into this terrible act of evil. Let's explore what I talked about in the traffic tease. A woman whose son was in a terrible car accident simply seeking care for her son who has the COVID immunities, but no one wants to help him because he hasn't gotten injected with the precious. We can deny it all we want, but we've got unique responsibilities because of this time. A spiritual time of choosing, a temporal time of choosing, and it's a time to stand up for your rights and to stand up for your loved ones' rights, particularly in the way of medical tyranny. Tracy joins us on the Todd Herman Show, and she's gone through quite a road with her son. Tracy, welcome to the Todd Herman Show.
Thank you.
So tell people about your son. He suffered an injury and some pretty serious stuff. And he's a sounds like a big, strong, tough dude, but he had a pretty hard struggle here.
Yes, he was in a car accident on late at 12 o'clock, whatever, September 25th. Totaled his car. They had to cut him out of the car. He's 6'8", 250, so he's a pretty big guy. So it broke his left leg, his femur, his tibial plateau, and his knee. It broke his right arm at the wrist, right at the joint, so two major areas. And then, you know, a little bit up his arm. He had an 8-hour surgery that day, and then 5 days later, another 8-hour surgery on the lower leg to repair everything.
And then in the recovery, and thank God Almighty that your son is recovering.
I am very thankful to the Lord for protecting him. It could have been a lot worse.
Yes, indeed. And then you ran into the COVID machine and you ran into the precious and everybody must be injected with the mRNA or DNA, even if they're at risk, like your son is with a blood clot. Then is you said a blood clot after the accident and
in his lung.
So talk to me and my audience about how this pressure on behalf of Big Pharma, how that manifested as your son is trying to recover from this terrible accident.
Yes. So the social worker, I had to contact her. She never contacted me. I mean, is of age, but he's in the hospital. He needs an advocate. So I had to contact her because I'm trying to find a skilled nursing home because even they said that's what he really needed. You know, like for them to work with him with PT and all that to get better. And I called her. The person that gave me a number for her, it was her beeper, her emergency beeper. So she was angry at me that I called on her emergency beeper. I said, I didn't know that was your beeper as the number I was given. We told her our circumstances. And then she asked me if he'd had the COVID shot. I said, no. I said, a matter of fact, he has COVID now or just got over it. They tested him. You know, he's just getting over it. And I said, she goes, would he be willing to get it? I said, no, we're not willing to put that in him. No. And then she wanted to know if we were vaxxed. I said, no. So that's when it started. She started telling me then good luck getting him in anywhere because they would not probably want to take him without COVID and we would not be able to get any skilled nursing or PT people to come into our home because we were unvaxxed. That was her threat right off the bat. And then she told me, do you think he'd willing to change his mind? I said, no. She goes, well, he's an adult. I'll talk to him. I called him up and warned him. He said, don't worry, Mom, I'm not doing it.
So her at any point did she say how bad is it? How's your son's life being threatened or
nope,
is he able to?
Not at all.
So
not
it was straight into pushing the mRNA DNA injections.
Yep. And never did call me back after that initial conversation, even though I left her a couple voicemails because I was trying to help my son on the outside because obviously I feel like she was almost kind of not trying hard because he wasn't willing to get the vax. I felt like we were really discriminated against because of that.
Well, and was she the only one who acted this way?
No. Oh, no. The charge nurse did, too, who was trying to kick him out.
So
she said,
charge nurse.
We protect our people. We can't have people come in your house.
So a charge nurse is trying to kick your son out. Your son had the COVID. has recovered from the COVID, meaning he has...
Yeah, because they tested him again. Because so when he came out of surgery, he was on one floor. When he went back for a second surgery on his lower leg, because he had a fracture in his leg, lower leg, because he had to wait for the swelling and pins and everything. When he came out of that surgery, they moved him. And by the way, they never tell me any of this. Every time I had to call and try to find him, they put him on the COVID floor for a few days. And then they retested, and he was negative, so they moved him again. So he's been free for a week and a half or longer. So
he's got robust,
literally
durable.
Just got over it.
Yeah, he's got robust, durable, natural immunity, actual immunity.
And he's young. He's 25.
Yep, and the injections don't provide immunity at all. They don't prevent transmission. And by the way, you say he's 25. I'll tell you this. He has it's a 99.986% survival rate. The odds of your son dying from this are similar to him dying from sunstroke. So did any of these COVID pimps, did they say, oh, by the way, he needs to wear sunscreen?
No.
Imagine
and
that.
You know what else is funny? I told the discharge nurse, and I got upset at her and told her it wasn't going down like this. I told her, I said, by the way, if you feel so safe with your COVID shot, then what do you have to worry about? My son just had it. We have the best immunity. We all just had it. We have the best immunity there is. We are not a threat to you. You're more of a threat to us.
And how'd she take that?
She did not talk once I got upset with her at all. Once I told her this whole thing wasn't going down like that, she never said another word.
So you had to go on this hunt, and I've heard a bit about the backstory, but you had to go on this hunt to try to find someone to come to your house to help care
me.
For your son.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm guessing maybe you can't pick your son up and carry him to the bathroom. Something tells me.
Not at 6'8" and 250.
Yeah. And he's
he
not in a position.
Well, he used to.
He will again. Good Lord will see to
yeah,
it.
I know.
He will again. So you told them, no, this isn't going down this way. So you became the advocate for your son, and you pushed back against the COVID injection pimps.
Yes. Yes,
who
I did.
Masqueraded healthcare. So talk about how you took control of the situation, Tracy.
Well, what she told me, basically they're letting him go, no help in 24 hours. I mean, like I said, thank God my son had a roommate who knew a lot of stuff. His sister's in the medical field. So he gave me a few pointers, and then I started calling around. I have a neighbor that's a hospital administrator. I have, you know, contacts. I just called a lot of people and found out what I could do. And I don't know what it was, but I was so exhausted by the time she called me back and so worn out. Something just overcame me. Holy Spirit, help me, Lord. And I just told her, no, we're not doing this. It's not going down like this. We have rights. And yeah, so I just laid it out for her. I wasn't going to let them put my son's life in jeopardy. I said, and the other thing is our house is not set up for him either, because everything's upstairs, the bedrooms, bathrooms, everything's upstairs. So we are going to have to build something in our garage to keep him cozy, warm and safe and able to get in and out.
So when you took control and you said, no, I have rights. My son has rights. Mm-hmm. We have patients' rights.
Yeah.
We're not going to play your game. We're done. And you'd said you have good insurance. It's not an issue of insurance. It's an issue of these guys putting up the roadblocks because you guys will not take a knee to the precious because you certainly don't need it, having the best immunity that God created, and they want to pretend doesn't exist.
Amen. Yeah.
You ultimately won, but you got them home, but you still can't find a skilled nurse in your home, correct?
Well, no, because when I got upset, then they gave us this. Then the social, like I said, within less than 5 minutes, the social worker was in his room telling him, now we may have something for you.
Oh,
you're not ready to go home. Oh, yeah. Then they gave us everything because I jumped back. I mean, except for an actual center, which would have been the best. No, they told him he could. They're even paying for him to get an ambulance home. They got us a bed. They got us everything we needed. We have skilled nursing coming in the house now. We have PT coming in the house. We have OT. We're going to have someone to give him a bath. I mean, they got everything. Probably because I used the word discrimination and told them I knew we had rights. But they were trying to shove him out because he was not willing to take a shot. And I even told him, I have good insurance. This is baloney. It was discrimination. That's what I told him, too. My neighbor told me that probably was the one keyword that probably was one of the ones that got them really going. I also said I'd spoke to a lawyer. Because I said, I'm not going to allow you guys to do this.
Yeah. They don't like that phrase, spoke
no.
to a lawyer. Well, Tracy, people are going to have to learn from your experience that the it's very, very sad, but people in the medical field have been traumatized. They themselves are being
threatened. Yeah, I feel for them.
You will get people injected, right? They're being threatened, or you're going to get fired. You will not, if you're a doctor, you will not talk about ivermectin. You will not talk about the IMAP protocol, Dr. McCullough's protocol. You will not talk about hydroxychloroquine. You won't even talk about aspirin, which now we know through a massive study can help save your life when you can, when you first contract COVID, because it's a blood thinner and it helps, in fact, make sure that you don't get overwhelming viral load. It's insane. But I want to thank you for being a person who stood up. And I hope that my my listener family will hear this is what happens when you stand up, you amplify, you push back. And I'm just so very thankful for you.
Well, we need to stand up or else they're going to keep rolling over people. And we can't have that. There's more of us than of them.
Absolutely. Words to live by. Well, God bless you for doing
it. Yeah, and my son is more precious to me than their dumb shots. I'm not going to.
Well, he's going to be back in full health and God willing soon. We appreciate you being a good warrior for the truth, and give my son, give your son my very, very best, and go with God's good grace today. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. God bless you guys too, and thank you for calling.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
From the troubleshooter, Todd, you eating food on the air sounds disgusting. Yes, I know. It was an accident. We don't normally do that. It was an accident. I had to eat because I had to eat, and then Alex was talking to me, and it's Alex's fault, but it's his last week as producer of the show because he's got an incredible new gig. What, I know. I was, wait, it is one more week after this one. For some reason, I keep getting in my head. I think it's because I dread it. No, I dread it. I dread you being gone. I really do. I dread it deeply. So how many times have I actually got caught eating on the air? Once I asked you to do the tease, remember that? Because there was no way I was going to finish the RX bar. And you had to do the tease at the top of that, right? Remember that?
It was a good time.
Yeah. I think I might this week surprise you with, do a monologue.
A whole monologue, huh?
Yeah. You couldn't just monologue off the top of your head?
I think I could.
All right, we're going to do that this week.
Okay. I shouldn't have said anything.
No, you should pick a topic and be ready.
All right.
See, that's what you should do, is you should take the challenge and run with it and be like absolutely ready. It's like, you know, when Tom Brady came in for, Drew Bledsoe. You know, Brady was ready. And I think, you know, Drew, who I went to football camp with Bledsoe. Back in the day when I was a kid, and he was the nicest human being. You know, he was the NFL quarterback and took the New England Patriots to Super Bowl in his own right. And I'll give you an idea of how nice he was. Is I hadn't seen him in decades. And a friend of mine, was it decades? Yeah, it was probably at least close to 20 years. And a friend of mine called me and she said, you know Drew Bledsoe, right? I said, well, I mean, I went to football camp with Drew. Yeah, but so you know him? Yeah, I guess I know him. I was a center and a defensive tackle, nose guard guy. And so I know him because I snapped the football to Drew. I was in huddles with Drew. So, yeah, I know him. And so she said, could you take me out and have him sign some footballs? And she was with a charity that I believed in. And so I said, well, again, it's not like we're buddies. I haven't seen him since he went to, you know, college. Yeah, but you know him. So, okay, all right, Jill, I love you, and you're my dear friend, and so I'll drive out, and we'll try to do this. So we drove up to Whitworth College, and Drew Bledsoe was teaching a football camp. And so we rolled up, and I said, there's Drew. I walked up. She had all these footballs in the back of the car. I walked up and said, Drew, you hear this 1,000 times a day. I'm sure you don't remember, but we went to football camp together, EW, and he said, Todd, how are you? Now, maybe I'm a loudmouth and therefore some people find me memorable. I don't know, but he remembered me. And I said, believe it or not, Drew, just like everybody else who walks up to you, I'm here to ask for a favor, believe it or not. And I told him about the charity, Jill did. And he said, hey, I'd be glad to do that so long as you hang out with me and help me sign him and talk with me and give me an update on your life. And so he sat there and he signed probably 20 footballs. I think it was probably 40 footballs. And he didn't ask for money. He had genuine questions about, so what'd you do after football? What are you doing with life? And so he was ready. Drew was ready when Brady was ready when Drew went down. And Drew, if you've ever seen the video, Drew became a great sideline QB to Brady, showing him the defenses and applauding him. In fact, when Brady threw a great touchdown pass to take them, I think ultimately the Super Bowl, there's this great video of Drew jumping up and down in pure glee and excitement because of what his protege had done. And he was yelling, "That's it, TB! That's it!" So Alex, be ready. And take my advice. Don't eat on the air because Troubleshooter will call you out on it. I appreciate the text, Troubleshooter. Craig, Todd, I was at the Tybee Island, Georgia this past weekend for my sister's fiance's bachelorette party. Okay. Pretty nice place. And of course, the state of the world's largest water main break in history that was to potentially destroy the human race during the night of the election of the greatest of all time, President Donald Trump. But anyways, we noticed a lot of those cargo ships circulating around packed full. Thanks a lot, senile, demented figurehead Pugs O'Biden. Hey, you know what? That's Mr. Joe Talibiden. To you, Craig. Thanks for that. On the topic of the mandate madness, from Chicago. Todd, we're mandated to be fully vaccinated by December 8th, and we decided it's our opportunity to be more open about our faith. So we're going for religious exemptions. We feel that testing their own woke standards is how we push back. We will not give in and encourage others to hold the line. Thank you for being part of allowing us to put on the full armor of God. Thank you for putting on the full armor of God. And yeah, I see, my thing is I will not participate in any of this. So if I'm put in the position, an employer or a vendor relationship or something wants to coerce me or blackmail me, I'm not even going to entertain it. I will simply not. I will not file for an exemption because I don't need to. I'm exempt. I'm exempt because I am created in God's image. I'm exempt because I own my body. I'm exempt because I've studied the issue. I'm exempt because God did not design the genes in our body to produce cytotoxins. I'm exempt for all these reasons. Even God Almighty. You ever notice something about Christ's miracles? This is an interesting thing. He never created anything. He never invented a thing. Right? I mean, when he fed the 5,000, he could have just made bread come from the sky, but he didn't. He said, "Bring me some and I'll multiply it." Which is why I can look at an actual vaccine, a dead piece of the virus, getting a kickstart on your natural immune system. That's fine with me. But code to produce a cytotoxin that produces no immunity? No, sorry, I'm out. That's violating God's law. 253, they're not giving medical workers the option of getting tested. My wife works for Valley Medical Center. They do not give that as an option. It's take the injection or you're fired or on administrative leave. Well, some people are giving the testing option. And I think the people who are doing that legitimately don't want to fire people. I really think they don't want to fire people. I think they're probably good-hearted people who are being squeezed and threatened and cajoled and conned. And so they provide the testing option, and the testing option will end up in more people. That will end up in people being forcibly vaccinated, in my judgment. That's my assessment. Mark and Everett, no testing at Boeing, same thing. I've heard from a bunch of Boeing employees. They're not going to have the testing. It's get the injection or get fired. I heard from a Microsoft employee. It's get the injection or get tested every week. You have to wear a woke mask wherever you go. So, of course, Microsoft's going to do that. Purple Pirate. Good morning, Todd. As your guest, the Seattle Fire Department lieutenant said, aborted fetal cell lines are used in many vaccines currently on the market. If you truly want to make the religious argument, I would use that God made us in his likeness from Genesis, that he created us mostly perfect. He did not create us for our bodies to create a toxin within, as determined by the Salk Institute study that showed the spike protein to be detrimental to all by itself. Absolutely. The spike protein is a cytotoxin. It is immediately fatal to a whole bunch of people, many of whom could not have statistically benefited from the injections. It is detrimental, as I understand it, to everybody in small degrees. Mindy from Ballard. Good morning, Todd. Great show. Let's go down, get down to the bare bones of the current state of the world. We've known since the spring of 2020 that COVID-19 wasn't as dangerous as they say to the vast majority of people. There were few excess deaths. We know these mRNA jabs are the reason for the release of this virus. We know that Bill Gates and Fauci are part of the technocratic cabal who controlled this planned worldwide genocide, and the hardest hit countries happen to have the strongest democracies. We know that the majority of journalists are lying to the public. Omission is also betrayal. Soon we won't be able to share any truth on social media. So tell us, how do you see us moving forward with this, with what we're facing? P.S. The Black Eye Club. I choked on my coffee. Love you, brother. I pray for the only voice I trust in the Northwest. Thank you, Mindy. The Black Eye Club is just weird. I ask this question for me. How many people do you know, adult human beings, who've had black eyes? You know, think about this in your workplace. All these people in D.C. ended up with black eyes. Isn't it always the left eye? It's just weird. I don't know what it is. Harry Reid was beaten up, in my judgment. I mean, because then he retired, and what did he say? I had an exercise band hit me in the face twice. I can't tell. This is weird. How do we see us moving forward with God's good grace? By recognizing that God is in charge, by building the kingdom versus building the world. That's just me talking, though, Mendy. Thanks for supporting the show through this long and winding road. We'll come back with a personal note next on the Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, if you've enjoyed my personal notes throughout the time this program has aired, then know this. I can't believe I'm about to speak these words. I am going to be delivering to what some people are going to think of as sermons. I can't think of them that way because I'm not qualified to preach. But I am going to be doing that this coming weekend in Gig Harbor, the morning and mid-morning events at Harborview Fellowship Church in Gig Harbor. And I will tell you that I have no idea when I will be back in Washington State. None. And I have no idea when the next time is we'll be able to gather as a listener and host family. At this radio station. I've no idea when that will happen again. So if you have the capability to make it there, please come. There's an event, a political event at which I'm speaking, the night before on Saturday. That has a cost to it, and it's a good cost. It's a good organization, One Washington. But people pointed out to me that the tickets are steep in price for them. You can learn about this at onewashington.org. But if you want the address to the church, it is going to be this weekend, Harborview Fellowship in Gig Harbor. Text Todd, T-U-D-D, to 800-465-8770. And I will be sharing testimony. I don't know the Bible well enough to preach, to make myself comfortable saying I preach or I could lead a sermon. But I will address this there about why I feel I can provide testimony in a church setting. It'd be an opportunity for us to see each other face to face. And again, I don't know when that opportunity might make itself appear again. So text Todd to T-O-D-D. All right, text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. Got a great note from Chris, a patriot. Inspires today's personal note. Normally, don't plan personal notes. This is one that's been sitting here for a bit. It's an email I've been meaning to air. Good morning, Todd. The song has been an unfortunate prediction of the mess we're moving towards. I'm certain it's part of your songbook. You always have a safe outpost in the great state of South Carolina, Chris, a patriot. Thank you, Chris. So weird and appreciative. Well, it's so weird to have listeners around the country. And I so appreciate that. And, of course, that came from Rush Limbaugh, God rest him. Here's the song Chris is referencing. It's called Red Barchetta. And if you know it, you know it. If you don't, it's by Rush. And I'll try to explain the storyline because it does explain a lot of what's going on. Guy finds a car in his grandfather's car. Cars are largely banned in the world. The song by the band Rush imagines. Neil Peart, the lyric writer, now departed, never believed in God, didn't know the Lord. Pretty sure we're going to get to the lyrics sometime. No one knows about. He says it used to be a farm before the motor law. And on Sundays I move the ice on the turbine frame. Too far outside the wire where my white-haired uncle waits. So what he's doing is on the land that his father or grandfather has. It's a farm. He finds an automobile and drives it outside the wires, eluding the eyes to drive outside the wires. He takes advantage of a human right of mobility. Because in the future imagined by Neil Peart and Rush, you're not to have that freedom anymore. You're not to have the freedom of mobility or to travel outside the wires. Now, that song, in fact, does strike me on a personal level for a number of reasons. One was my father, who was, as I've shared on the program, a very large man and an obese man and a lovely man and a powerful man and a gentle man. And he loved fast cars. And I think he loved them because it freed him from his body and the limits of his body. And he could compete in speed with other people, which was difficult to do at his size. And he could lose himself in the limits of the physique that he had and be in sort of a superhuman mode. He loved racing because I think it removed him from those limits. It strikes me personally because the first time I got into a race car, I was about 6 years old, quarter midgets. And immediately I had the same disease my father had, which was almost a sense of flight. It strikes me personally because, though she doesn't do it anymore, I can remember watching my little girl as a speed skater lose herself in laps. Lose herself in speed and this near ability to fly. I can remember once being on Alki Beach. I was riding my bike and she was on her speed skates and we passed a big, huge bodybuilder who was in one of those recumbent bikes. Guy was just absolutely yoked, as they'd say. My daughter skated by him at about 39 miles an hour. I know because I was clocking her. I said, "Hey, you're gonna," and then she was gone. I looked back and said, "She's fine." The freedom of mobility, something that human beings have often sought, and it's a sad state of affairs that the party really does want that day that Neil Peart imagined, where we really don't get to have that losing of ourselves, that hypermobility, only with their permission. It really is a desire they have to remove any connection we have with anything that could ever turn our minds away from their power and towards the power of the Almighty. It really is their design. This is the Todd Herman Show. We are every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I certainly hope I get to chat with you tomorrow. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.